Hello, and welcome to Connecting You to You Radio, where we tune in to receive the messages of health and well-being that are being broadcast from the soul. I'm your host, Lisa Warner, author of The Simplicity of Self-Healing. I show you how to heal your body naturally by combining your body's innate intelligence with the wisdom of your own soul, so that you can break through the mental programming of limiting beliefs that cause disease and make healing your body and changing your life simple. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Soul Stories, because every soul has a story. And today I am so excited to bring you my friend, Victoria Reeves. Victoria is a writer, a storyteller, a writing coach, and a world traveler. She's backpacked in 15 countries and now traverses the USA in her converted cargo van named Flo. Her solo show, Brassy and Intrepid, Fighting to Be Me, was selected for Lifeline Theater's Filet of Solo Festival and the Elgin Fringe Festival. The Quandary, her humorous story about sibling rivalry, was published in Chicago Storytellers, From Stage to Page. Victoria is the founder of Creativity Lab, a virtual playground for inspiration, expression, and collaboration. She also teaches How to Write Your Story, a virtual writing workshop that explores memoir, stories for stage, and for travel writing. So, Victoria, welcome to Soul Stories.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here. We're the purple twins.
We are.
I want to sign up for all those classes until I realize that I was the one teaching them. Oh, Creativity Lab, How to Write Your Own Story. That's fabulous. Isn't it funny how we just like birth into the world the things that we long to understand further and explore? And yeah.
It's like we've all got these encodements inside that we're here to bring forth, to birth into reality. We've all got these incredible gifts, and I'm so happy that you're here sharing yours, because your gifts are amazing. I love it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm having so much fun already. Have you heard of this? I'm sure you have. This concept of right livelihood. You're like, girl, please. Yes. So
right? I struggled with that for the first like 75 years of my life.
The first 75 years. Yeah, I mean, real talk, right? And that whole idea of like that we know when we're little, like why we're here, like why we were brought here and the work that we were meant to do. And we just do it naturally. We don't think about it. We're not like, am I going to get paid to do it? Am I going to get likes? We don't even care. We're not in that zone, right? We just like show up to life and we're like, do our thing. And my thing, I remember this like it was yesterday, is that so this is back in the day when kids could like walk on the street, you know, safely. Alone. And we live by the library. So I would walk to the public library and I had like my little backpack. And then when I would walk in, I knew all the librarians and they're like, oh, Victoria's here. And they would go to the back and get like grocery bags because I would take out so many books that I couldn't fit them in my backpack. So they would take out, I think the maximum was like 30 at a time on your card. And I would literally take out like 30 books and then lug them home, you know, with my bags and everything. And sit under this like weeping willow tree and just read stories all day long for days, right? Oh. And it was just like that whole idea of that words could take you to this imaginary place where anything is possible and you could do anything and you could be anything and you could explore anything. And I'm getting bumps on my arms just like telling the story, you know, and that, and the whole idea of right livelihood is that like we have that magic sauce, that special sauce that we know that we love when we're little. And then like, you know, life happens, like maybe we, you know, get married or we have kids or we work, blah, 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 and the world tells us you need to X, Y, Z. Hello. And then we get further and further and further from that little self of us who's tugging on our sleeve and going, hello, could you please listen to me? And like the homework of our adult life is to return to that inner child, right? And give her or him a space to create and to shine and to express and to explore and to share who they are with the world. And so I would say that this is the essence of what my work is all about, is to create that space. Yeah. Yeah. That safe space.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so funny. Like when I was a little kid, all I wanted was just to be free. I just wanted to like go outside. I wanted to just be free to play out in nature and, you know, but it was like, no, you have to go to school. You have to sit inside this brick building all day long and listen and do your homework and do more work when you get home. And like, oh, it was so confusing to me. I couldn't figure out why we were being made to do all of this stuff. And that part, like I never knew what it was that I was supposed to do in this world. Like everybody, they always would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, I'm 8. Like, give me a break. Like,
I don't know. A person. Yeah. Well, and look at you now. Like you live surrounded by nature, right?
I do.
Live surrounded by, and so every day you get to do what little you wanted to do, right? With the backdrop of stunning beauty. I mean, how perfect is that?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, and that's why I bought my cargo van and why I spend like a lot of my time camping and being in nature, right? And being out in that space. And that's why I named her Flow, you know, FLOW, by the way. Because living in flow is the name of my memoir that I'm working on right now. Because that is my goal always, right? Just like wake up, show up to the page, to the stage, to the conversation, to my studio. I'm also a doll maker. I make these empowerment dolls and they're like, ooh, they're magical and fun. And I teach about doll making and writing. And, you know, so like my goal is always to show up with an open energy to whatever is going to happen. Which is easier some days than others, of course, right? I mean, because we're human and we have our preconceived notions and so I always try to be like the queen of yes and to be responsive to that energy. And that's what I love about traveling, because when you're traveling, especially in a van, which my van is super basic, it's sort of like a tent on wheels. It's not, you know, I don't have running water. Okay. It's like, it's boondocking. Do you know what boondocking is?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I bring my own water, food, toilet, the whole nine. And, and I've camped in 20 degree weather and 95 degree weather and all everything in between, tornadoes. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. It's good to challenge yourself in that respect and be new. And be new and be the new person and be the new adventurer in foreign places.
I love that. Right?
Yeah.
So where did you grow up, Victoria?
Oh, so I grew up in Chicago, well, south of Chicago in the suburbs, actually. And been here a lot of my life, but I've lived in Japan for 4 years, went to school in Wisconsin, and I spent most of my late 20s and most of my 30s, I spent traveling. So I've been to 15 countries. Mostly backpacking, you know, definite OG budget traveler, you know, like travel until there's $10 left and then go, oh, I guess I better take this return ticket and go home now. And there's a reason I'm saying that is because I think that in all seriousness, like I think that really, really powerful experiences can happen in that liminal space of not having a plan.
For sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I didn't realize that until later, you know, that I intentionally put myself in the liminal spaces, but that's what it's about. And that's why I feel energized and young, although I'm turning 60 this year. Yay. You know, but like mentally I'm 20. I don't know. I'm very energized and excited for sure.
Yeah.
So, go on.
oh, I mean, that's like how we're supposed to be living, right? Like every day, just being energized and excited and enthusiastic about life itself. Mm. That's the divine plan.
It's the divine plan, and I'm stepping up for it. And you know, my mom, you had these great sayings, and one of them was, people who are bored with themselves. Ouch. But you know, when my sister and I would come in and be like, there's nothing to do, you know, then she would just say, well, I'm not a circus clown. Like, I'm not here to entertain you. So go figure it out, like make something, create something, build something, make a show, you know, like, and we did. So I thought, considering I'm a writer, that I would share with you my backstory by reading an excerpt from my memoir. Ooh. If that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm currently writing two books simultaneously, which I wouldn't recommend to anyone. But that's how they're coming. So I'm just showing up for it. So one of them is a memoir and the other one is a personal development book about creativity.
Nice.
So yeah, thank you. So this is from my memoir, which is ironically called Living in Flow.
Love it.
Here we go. Picture this. It's 1972. I'm 8 years old, and my dad and I are in the family room, orange shag carpet, rattan chairs, listening to Roberta Flack on the phonograph. People always talk about man's inhumanity to man, but what you trying to do to make this a better land? Just pick up your paper, turn on your TV. You see a lot of demonstrations about equality. But folks wouldn't have to suffer if there was more love. But these are trying times, oh yeah, Roberta sang. What does she mean by man's inhumanity to man, I say to my dad. Dad just looks at me with this exhausted face and says, hey, Lick, I don't want to be a bat in your belfry or a fly in your ointment or a hair in your soup. I just want to give it to you straight, okay? People are jerks, and the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. This was my dad. Classic Ed Reeves. Straight from the hip, no BS, tell it like it is. In our house, speaking loud and fast was the way to get heard. It had nothing to do with being perceptive or thoughtful. It had everything to do with dominance and taking up space. Having the last word. Growing up in a family like mine was like being in a Woody Allen movie. You know that Easter dinner scene in Annie Hall where everybody is talking emphatically at the same time, pontificating and vying for attention? Well, that was a snapshot of our family dinners. Funny on film, draining in real life. Now, Dad was on a mission to expand our vocabulary. He spent $40 on a Webster's dictionary, which he kept at the dining room table. Before we could eat dinner, my sister and I had to look up a new word, read the definition aloud, and use it correctly in a sentence. His other mission was to infuse politics into absolutely everything. Talk radio, 60 Minutes, or some other form of the news was on in our house constantly. So dinner time went something like this. Vocabulary building exercise, very brief check-in about our days, and then intense discourse about the state of the nation. Each night we would deconstruct topics like Watergate, the energy crisis, and Vietnam. Remember, I was 8 years old. Intellect was the currency that got Dad's attention. I never learned how to make polite dinner conversation, but I got very good at debating. Open discourse was welcome as long as your argument was backed by solid facts and lasted only about 3 minutes. This was as long as my dad could wait to chime in with his opinion. Living with my dad was like being forced to listen to a talk radio show day after day, like while always waiting like a caller on hold.
Okay. Wow. Oh my gosh.
So does that give you an idea?
Yeah, paints a pretty crystal clear picture. Oh my heavens. Well, A, you're a fabulous writer, and B, congratulations for living through all of that. Oh my gosh. It's pretty intense when we look back and realize, like, you know, how all of the programming happens through the news and politics and all of that. And then to be like so focused on that programming all the time growing up. Like, wow.
Well, and that I'll never forget that message that my dad said. And actually there was a swear word. It wasn't people or jerks. It was a word that I won't repeat on the airways, but it starts with an A. And you know, that was like my dad's motto, you know, like in this people are, and the sooner you realize it, the better off you'll be. And I remember at eight just being like, I don't believe that. That's not my worldview. Like, I love people. I love humanity. I love people's stories. I love connecting with people and talking to them and hearing about them. And like, and I believe that people are inherently good. Even as a kid, I was just like, this is who I am. And this is what I believe. So then how am I going to make that happen? You know, for myself, that's the journey. That's been the journey.
Wow.
The whole time.
I love it that you were able to stay like true to your inner knowing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because thank you for saying that. I have a writing class that starts tonight, and I was going over some I teach a writing class, and I was going over some prompts that I wanted to work on with my students. Let me see if I can bring this up right quick. And I saw this one. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so brilliant. Please hold. Wait, here it is. It's about a room. Choose a location that you've come to know as an adult. Compare how you interact with this setting now to how you interacted with similar settings when you were a child. How has your perspective changed? And the table that I'm sitting at right now is in my kitchen. If you could see the full 360, I mean, I have plants everywhere. I have drawings. I have a candle lit. You know, I have an atomizer with a grapefruit essential oil. I'm surrounded by my dolls and all of my words of affirmation that are around me. And that was me as a kid. Like, my bedroom as a kid was a sanctuary for creativity. You know, and I would go in there and like sing Broadway songs over my record player. You know, I would write stories. I created found art sculptures from stuff that I found in the neighborhood, like even white picket fences or pieces of driftwood, or, you know, just I wove them together. I'm a producer also. And the first show I ever produced was a open mic in the backyard with all the kids in our neighborhood. They had like 7 minutes to go on stage, quote unquote, which was the grass, to, you know, share whatever they wanted to share. And that, you know, so the point is that desire to provide a platform for people to tell their stories, it was like already there. It was already there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Isn't that interesting?
That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So long story short. So I went to Beloit College in Wisconsin. My degree was in English composition with a minor in sculpture. And that's when I started making my empowerment dolls, because my mind is very active and I would sit in class, and I love my classes, but I couldn't just sit and listen and just be like I had to, you know, be doing something with my body. And I was taking sculpture classes. So I was like, oh, I could make these like small form. I don't know if this will show up in here. Oh, maybe not. Oh, there she is.
Wow.
Hi.
She's beautiful.
Thank you. So these are empowerment dolls, and on the back, they have a message, and her message is grow, actually. And I also use the lotus flower, which I've noticed that you use in a lot of your different spaces online and on your website. So I have that on the back of all of my dolls on their heads, because it's that whole idea that, you know, we grow out of the darkness into the light of who we are here to be.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Wow. Thanks. That's so cool.
Yeah. So
I've always been really kind of jealous of people who are so creative like that. Like, you are just this font of creativity.
Well, you know, then I would love for you to come to one of our creativity labs, which start up again in the fall. We're on a hiatus right now because I'm teaching writing courses. But yeah, I mean, that I love that you said that, because that's what we talk about in Creativity Lab, right? It's like, how can we learn? It's really, I think it is a learned skill to brainstorm and iterate and mind map and imagine. And just fearlessly go into that space where we may or may not make a mistake. That's, I think the creativity is about that. Oh, did I hit a nerve there?
Right. Oh yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, for so many people that, you know, you don't want to make a mistake, like, you know, it's better not to do it than to make a mistake doing it.
Exactly. You know,
that's kind of an overriding program throughout humanity.
Absolutely. And, you know, are you familiar with the term andragogy?
Mm-mm, no.
So I actually learned it from Gabby Button in the Wisdom Playground. Give big ups to Gabby. And we talked about it a lot when I was part of that wonderful coaching program. And so andragogy is the idea of how adults learn. And it's exactly what you're saying. Is like, you know, as adults, like, we are very vulnerable when we come into a new situation. Because A, we have all of our baggage, but B, we feel like, well, I'm grown, you know, so I should be good at everything, you know, but actually, of course, we're not good at everything, because we, you know, we have the things that we know, and then there are things that are new for us. So andragogy is the science, really, of teaching adults and teaching adults how to build on what we already know in a way that keeps it fresh and exciting and energizing and not scary.
Nice.
Yeah, which you, I'm sure that you do in your classes that you teach and your different workshops. You know, you probably just innately do it, but don't think about it.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, just that whole programming that we receive, you know, from schools, like, big red check mark. Ooh, got it wrong. Ooh, got it wrong. It's like, you know, it's like, we're just so focused on, oh my God, I made a mistake. Oh my gosh, you know, now I'm getting in trouble for making this mistake. You know, it's like, ooh. So it really just programs us to just sit back and just not say anything, not take chances, not make waves, not speak our truth. Because God forbid, we don't want that big red check mark, you know.
Absolutely. And how many connections did we miss? Opportunities did we not pursue? Art forms did we not pursue? Even just for our own joy and the joy of doing it, regardless of the outcome. One of my favorite sayings that I love to share is, you know, you can't make a mistake being yourself.
I love that.
Write that down. It's so good. No, but it is. It's so good, right? It's like, I want to hear that every day. Which is why it's right here at my desk in front of me. But it's true. It's true. Right. It's like, you are the only you. It sounds cliche. Everyone says it, but it's why they say it, because it's true.
It is.
Okay. Well, this is a natural segue, I think, into my next thing that I would love to read for you if I can.
Absolutely.
I'm a writer. I have to write stuff down. So this is from my upcoming book, which is called Fusion, How to Channel Creativity into Work, Art, and Life, which is so important.
It is.
I could talk about this all day long, and I do. Okay, so here we go. Steps to redefine success and love yourself. Number one, start where you are. Let go of perfectionism. Stay in the moment. Accept all of your delicious self. Allow yourself to have fun. Embrace your weird. Take risks and experiment. Give yourself credit for being brave. This is from chapter 4, Redefining Success. I can have it all when I define what all means. Comic River Butcher. We live in a society that judges success based on quantifiable measures, degrees, professions, income, likes, followers, beauty. Many of us feel pressured to measure up to these metrics, metrics created by somebody else, often with profits in mind. We may judge our own success and that of others unconsciously, putting new ideas, people, or experiences through a litmus test. I like to call this mindset being the king or queen of no. Sometimes it's easier to reject the unknown and feel superior in our narrow-minded kingdoms. Of course, the downside of this attitude is that we miss out on the magic of connecting with potential collaborators, friends, or teachers. We miss out on wonderful food, music, art, experiences, or travel opportunities that could blow our minds. We miss out on life. Everything you want is on the other side of your fear, Jack Canfield. Fear can hold us back from exploring. In order to stretch past our mindset, we must be willing to step away from how we've always done things. Often when things feel confusing, we are on the edge of a breakthrough. Be courageous. Carve out your own path. In order to think independently, you must give voice to your own random, tangential, wise, wacky, and fabulous thoughts. Tuning in to your own voice. Tuning into your audacious awareness reveals unexpected inspiration. And I'll just end with this. The definition of invent, which is a verb, create or design something that has not existed before, be the originator of.
I love that.
Thoughts, feelings.
Hey, it's so true. I look back at, I mean, just obviously my own experience was, you know, like every time I said something or, you know, weird, you know, I would always get knocked down, reprimanded, told that's not the right way. You can't do that. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, and so I just kept, you know, living this life of not me, trying to just fit in and do the right thing. And, you know, it's like, wow, I spent so much of my life in this space of just this soul imprisonment of, you know, not reaching out, not trying to say anything. Like, I had this completely different consciousness than everybody else around me. It's like, I'm not from this crazy planet. I'm from this place where it's beautiful and loving and kind and this beautiful paradise. And like, this is not this, you know, this world is not that. And every time I would speak these types of things and be like, that's not the way it is here. This is, you can't do that. And it's like,
right.
And it finally took me facing cancer to finally go, you know what? I got to be me. I got to clear out all of this stuff. I got to remember who I am at the soul level. This is my route to salvation is me.
And can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can I flip the script? So what is the thing that you do where you feel completely integrated and synthesized and like you can finally share on the level that you always knew that you were ready to do?
Really, it was when I finally was able to really tune in to God, source, creator through nature. Like it's all one thing. Like there is, it's not like God and then nature and then mankind and you know, it's like it's all one thing. When I was able to start to really understand that everything is alive, everything is living, everything is life itself, except for this artificial matrix that's been created, which is all about the anti-life, you know, like pulling, you know, debt and confusion and, you know, all of that stuff. It's like once I realized I could step out of all of that and I could just be me without any of that other stuff affecting me, that was when it all shifted.
Nice, beautiful. And how about now, like just in your daily practice, like what do you hike? Do you write? Do you like what's the action that you do that continues to bring all of that together, let's say? Since
most, I mean, meditation, whether it's, you know, whether it's just sitting and meditating, whether it is meditating out in nature, you know, taking walks, taking hikes, you know, whatever that is, it's really that tuning in to, you know, the living life force energy of all that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I love that. And I feel like, you know, we're both coaches, and I'm actively coaching regularly, right? Individually and group coaching in my classes. And, you know, I feel like as coaches, as teachers, as trainers, whatever you want to call us, you know, like we have to fill our own well, right? And it's so important. And we have to also just like stay dialed into that original inspiration and motivation that got us started in the first place, right? You know, and I, you know, well, anyway, I'm not going to go there. I still work with people one-on-one, and I'm old school. I'm analog in a digital world. But I love that, you know what I mean? And there may come a time when I don't know, but I'm just saying that, like, for me, it's all about the moment when the light goes on and you're having that conversation, you know, even if it's in a group, but I that's the magic that keeps me working, you know, 80 hours a week instead of working 40 hours a week for somebody else, right? The entrepreneur's credo, but it's true, right? And it's just like that is the part that keeps me so excited, because I feel like even if I can help one other person to feel that sense of self-love and celebration and joy at finally like self-actualizing, there are a million different ways that we can, express what this is about, but really like coming into their power and coming into their fullness, and also having the tools to do it. So if we can, I'd like to talk about writing for a second.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, writing. Wow. So, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with Julia Cameron and The Artist's Way, that book that's been around, you know, since the dawn of time. I just heard the other day, this interview with her, she's written 40 books, which I was like, wow, that's insanely prolific. But she has this exercise in there that we've all been doing, many of us have been doing for years, which is the morning pages, right? And you show up and you know, whether she says handwrite it, I can't, I do it on my computer, full confession. But you know, set a timer and write for 30 minutes every morning. And you know, so like, I don't even know where to begin, but so much of my personal healing and revelation about what, like how I need to solve a problem creatively, what I need to do next, whether that's professionally, personally, you know, in my relationship, let's just say that any guidance that I have received has come through doing the morning pages, 100%. And then what I do, which I would love for your listeners to try this if they would like to, and or of course yourself. So I will put something that I call it my muse. Like my muse is very active and she has many things that she wants me to do, including write 2 books in a year simultaneously. Oh, stop, muse, stop. But she gives me all sorts of advice. And so if there's something that my muse is like, and you know, and asking me to figure out, I will write that at the top of my morning page or my document, for example, if I'm in Google Docs or whatever. And then I will set the timer. I will put on world music because that's my jam. I will light incense, make a cup of coffee, and then I just go. And I will say to you that by the end of that 30 minutes, I have figured out whatever I don't really use the word problem, but like whatever it is that I'm trying to get on the other side of. By the end of 30 minutes, I have a very clear path for that. And this is why I teach writing, because I know that writing can help us like take our ideas from our subconscious ramblings and into like our conscious knowing, and then take it out to the rest of the world. So what are the containers for this? Well, my writing classes are focused on what's called creative nonfiction. And creative nonfiction is based in real stories. So it's based on your life, right? But it doesn't have to be about you. It could be real stories about other people if you want, but just real, like real stories. And so the different genres that we play with are flash memoir, which is like a 1,000-word memoir. So it's like a micro version of a memoir. You don't have to write your whole life story. Phew. So overwhelming. So this is more like a slice of that pie. Then we do personal narrative, personal essays, which is just what they sound like, and stories for stage. So I am a storyteller and I produce a storytelling show, which ironically was called Soul Stories Live. Lisa and I were laughing about that before today's podcast. And in that show, we showcase storytellers from all over the world. We had tellers from Japan and Australia and Canada and all over the States. And they were telling their own personal stories. And in the capacity of producing that show for 3 years, I coached, I would say, probably 300 storytellers on their stories. So I really developed the skill set of helping people understand, like, what do I leave in? What do I take out? And we've all been to a dinner party where a person is just like, I, and like rambling endlessly about a story where you're just like, is there a topic? Please make my phone ring. I can get out of here. So that's the exact opposite of what you want to do as a storyteller on stage, right? You want to be captivating. You want to be fascinating. You want to be interesting. You want to use language and words and imagery to paint a picture that airdrops your listener right into scene. You know, like the beginning of what I had read, picture this, it's 1972. I'm 8 years old. My dad and I are in the family room, orange shag carpet, rattan chairs. 70s, right? Boom. And I don't have to be like, I'm in Flossmoor, Illinois, south of Chicago, but no, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, it kind of matters, but it also doesn't matter. Because you just want to know, like, where is this person in time and space? And then tell me about the characters, like weave the story about those characters. And how do we do that? With dialogue, with body language, with facial expressions, with worldview, you know, with philosophy of life. Like, they're the typical questions in any writing course, but it's like, you know, who is the person trying to be and what's stopping them from becoming that person? Wow. How many, you know, we could write for days on that. We could write for days on that.
Sure.
Yeah. So this is what we do. This is what we do in my writing workshops. And it's incredible and it's powerful. And, you know, I've had somebody that was 88 years old and I've had people that were like, you know, students that were like 19 years old. And that kind of intergenerational sharing also is so powerful, because when do we do that in our lives? I mean, some of us might, but yeah.
Yeah. I remember back to the time that I was facing cancer.
Yeah.
And I realized, wait a second, this is not the story that I'm going to tell.
Boom.
This is not my life story, and I refuse to tell this story. I'm going to tell a different story. I'm telling the story of how I healed myself and went on to live an amazing, beautiful life. This is the story I'm going to tell.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And reframing, you know, like reframing with language, because you're a writer, obviously. You've published an incredible book, and I was reading a lot of your posts and everything on your website. I'm like, oh, this woman is prolific. Like, you are a writer. Hello. I have news for you. You know this already, but it's true. Like, you are a writer. And what am I trying to say? So the reframing of the message, this is why words are so incredibly powerful. Not just the words that we heard from other people, or even the words that we're saying or writing out loud, but the words that we're saying inside of our minds.
We're writing our stories every single day. We're literally living the story. Most people are just living somebody else's story that they're being told. This is what you have to do. This is where you have to go. You know, oh, you know, now it's time for your checkup. And, you know, it's like, and it's like, I was living somebody else's story for the first 75 years of my life. turns
out it can't be 75 years.
I can tell my own story. I'm a creator being. We are all creators. And we can create our own story. And it's like also looking, as the human collective, we are so focused on just surviving every day. You know, am I going to have enough money? And where's the next thing? Where am I going to meet someone? You know, it's like, we're so focused on just surviving that we're not focused on how do I leave a legacy? Like what story do I want to tell?
Yes.
Like we have that ability.
Yes. Well, and you had me at legacy, which is one of my favorite words and the topic that comes up so often, right? I mean, it's just like, well, why am I? So, okay, these are the four questions that I ask every person that I'm working with, individually or in a group. So it's like, who are you? Why are you here? In the broadest sense of that question, what are your gifts and what's the story that you came to tell?
Love that.
Right? And it's just that. It's just the, oh, you know how you have a physical reaction to certain things? Like for me, that just, it elicits that soul to soul connection. You know, like I am not good at small talk and I imagine that you might not be either.
What was your first clue?
Sure, I could do the weather, but then I'm done, right? And I'm just like, okay, let's get to it. Like, what's your purpose? Why are you here? What's your passion? You know, like, yeah, like what's a revelation you had in the last 24 hours? I just want to get into it.
Right.
Do you have this too?
Oh, for certain. I just figured I was just like socially awkward because like I could not do small talk. I couldn't talk about other people. Like it was just so repulsive. I could never do the bar scene. It was like so superficial. I had no interest in any of that. It's like, I'm just going to go over here and live as a recluse. You know, if you need me, I'm over here, but you won't be seeing me.
That is so fun. Well, and also, but you know, I kind of wonder about this too. Like, and I don't know if you experienced this, but well, I didn't talk to my mom at all. I haven't talked to my mom yet. Sherry, that was my mom. She's passed away, but she was absolutely one of the most spiritual people I've ever known in my life. And my mom got multiple sclerosis when I was 5. And so then I watched her go from like a cane to a walker to a wheelchair and all the different debilitating things that happened with that. But at the same time, she was so incredibly positive. Like she was the kind of person that would, you know, roll into a room in the end because she had her wheelchair and just everybody would light up. And she knew like every waitress and busboy and hostess of every restaurant in the south suburbs of Chicago. She'd be like, what's your story? Where are you from? You know, tell me about your family. Like my mom used to always say, people are like flowers. They need to be watered, you know? And so I guess the reason that I'm saying that is that like, for me, that to circle back to like not doing small talk, like that sense of imminence and purpose and, you know, carpe diem, seize the day. Like I've had that since I was little because of my mom, right? Because I was never under any illusion of like, oh, you know, I can waste time. No, time is precious. Like this is it. This is the day. This is the day that we have. We don't know. You know, and not in a fear-based, like, oh my gosh, live out of fear, but in a life-based kind of a passion of like, I gotta be me. Like you said, I gotta be me and I gotta pursue this thing that I'm so excited about. And I gotta have that conversation that I'm maybe afraid to have or because what was that? Oh my gosh, it was that great quote. Everything you want is on the other side of your fear, that Jack Canfield quote. Mm-hmm. Oh. And this is why small talk is just so silly to me. Like, I'm just like, why we want to do that? Like, let's just be, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I feel so blessed by the people that choose to be around me because we don't do any of the superficial stuff. It's like, bam, we just dive right in and, you know, have that heart to heart connection and talk about stuff that's real, you know? It's like all the superficial stuff, that's not what's real. That's not what matters. Stuff of the heart, that's what matters, the stuff of the soul.
Absolutely. And as you were saying before, we were both saying, like, the fact that we can change our story, we can rewrite our story. You know, I'm actually a big fan of lists. And I'll tell you this thing I did the other day, which when I told other people, they were like, what? But I'm a swimmer. I'm a hardcore swimmer. I pretty much swim every day of my life. And I love to swim laps. I love that, like, repetitive motion, you know, it kind of releases something in my mind. And I'm experimenting with different ways to waterproof ways to take notes when I'm swimming. I have like the best revelations when I'm in the water.
Right. Yes. The conductor, superconductor.
100%. I'm just like, I gotta get this down. So anyway, so the other day I was like swimming with a kickboard. So my hands were free. And I decided that I was going to make a list of 100 things that I was grateful for while I was swimming, which 100 is a lot.
Right?
By the way, if you've ever tried this exercise, do try this at home. So, and then I was counting on my fingers, right? That's how I was like keeping track. And I was just sort of saying them in my mind. But the point was, it was everything from, you know, vegetables and fruit when I open my refrigerator, which I am grateful every single time, to being surrounded by people that I can share with and that share with me and infuse their amazing energy into my spirit. And this might sound weird, but the internet, right? Oh,
it's a huge, huge boon.
It's a huge boon because we wouldn't be here right now and you and I would never probably have met each other. We live far apart,
exactly.
You know? And how would we find each other, you know, in the virtual scheme of things? Yeah. Yeah. And so that was one I was like, wow, you know, the internet is amazing. And the only reason I'm saying that is because, well, I won't go off on a super tangent right now, but I am learning to embrace AI as a writer and a critical thinker who values creativity more than breath. You know, AI has given me a run for my money. And so I, you know, my son, God bless him, he's 23 and he's just like, look, you know, you need to embrace AI. You know, it's like fire, the invention of the car, you know, cell phones, computers, like, yes, technology disrupts our world, but also it can be really powerful and helpful. So I'm in the process of creating a course right now that's going to be for people over 50 to use AI as a source of creativity and a jumping off point for their own work. So it's like, let's use it as an idea generator and use it for the intended purpose that it could do, and then bring our human aspects to it. So anyway, in my swimming, I was like, well, I'm grateful for AI. And then I'm like, no, you're not. You're really not. And we had a conversation, myself and I, in the pool. And then I was like, no, you know what? I really am grateful for AI, because the fact is that when I first created my Facebook page, I was like, ooh, this is scary. And I don't know how to do this. And what if I look weird on here? And now I'm on it like all the time. Right. And I, you know, I'm of the HTML generation. So like the first time I took an HTML course and learned how to do coding, because I want to design a website like 1,000 years ago, you know, and now I design my own website and it's something that I do for my clients frequently when they ask. And so it's just like second nature is what I'm saying. If it weren't for these technologies, you know, I wouldn't be able to do the work that I'm doing on the level that I'm doing it. So yeah, it's just yet another way of embracing the new. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure why I shared that, but.
Yeah, it's very interesting when we look at AI and, you know, how things can serve us and how those very same things can imprison us. And it just depends on how much we pay attention and how much we are, you know, really invested in ourselves. like in our own intelligence, in our own organic intelligence.
Yes.
You know, it's been touted that, you know, AI is superior intelligence because it's so much faster. It's like, no, we have organic intelligence. We are literally tuned right into the mind of God, like the mind of the universe. Everything is at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
We are right in. But if we're not aware of our direct connection, then we just flounder around in the external world trying to find something to save us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the fear that something can like take our voice away. I think that's what the root of it, right? It's just like, I spent my lifetime trying to cultivate my voice, right? And trying to help other people cultivate their voice. And like the idea of some external voice, you know, force taking our voices away, you know, but it's just like, no, that's not reality. Like reality is exactly how you reframed it, which, that was gorgeous. And so true. And so true. Right. It's like, and as a side note, I just heard the other day from a friend that her daughter uses AI to write down what's in the refrigerator. And then it gives her like 5 different things that she can cook for dinner. So I was like, all right, I'll give that the click. That's useful.
Right? Yeah, that could be useful for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to play, to have a playful perspective, right? And just be like, okay, here we go. I'm up for reinvention. The reinvention brought on by myself and the reinvention brought on from things that I did not invite into my circle of knowing. And I'm just gonna play with it and see where it goes.
So where are you taking your life story? What are the next chapters coming up?
What are the next chapters coming up? Well, I'm going to a couple of writing conferences in flow in my van this summer, which I'm very excited about. And I am working on these 2 different books. So that's what I'm doing. And then these writing workshops, which I'm very excited about, I'm calling them Storycraft Sessions. Actually tonight is the debut of that. And I'm really excited about that because I've been doing private coaching. So business writing, academic writing, creative writing for over 20 years, actually. And you know, words are my superpower. I love them, love working with them. And so I'm like, let's mix it up and do this together collaboratively and see what comes out. So yeah, I would say that is the, well, I can't really quantify them. They're all really exciting projects, but that's one project that I'm very excited about, playing with that and gathering people together. So our group this month is from Australia, upstate New York, actually, Aspen, Chicago area. Yeah. And lots of different races and ages and groups of people together. So, I'm very excited about that. And I'm going to run that actually every Monday night with a new class starting the first Monday of each month. So folks can find out about that at my website, which is Coach Victoria Reeves, REEVES.com. And yeah, I'm on Instagram, Coach Victoria Reeves. And where else am I? I'm on Facebook. I'm in all the places.
I'm about. So who are your classes for?
Good question. Who should take my class? Anyone that would love to tap into their inner knowing, their fabulous memories, or maybe not so fabulous memories. I would say that my classes are for any person who feels that their curiosity is greater than their fear. So their curiosity about finally writing is greater than their fear of writing something that they might not like. Mm. And there comes a time when we have that shift, right? When our curiosity is greater than our fear and we're ready. So that is who my classes are for. People who are ready and have done the work of loving themselves to the point where they know that it's okay to experiment. And they're ready and willing to kind of mix it up in that way. And then also just learn writing, you know, like tonight we're going to be talking about nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. You know, like it's old school. We're back to English 101. But then we do things like let's do it right now if we have time. Let's do synonyms for the word big.
Ooh.
Okay, you go first.
Gigantic.
Oh, spectacular.
Enormous.
Humongous.
Brilliant.
Good. Earth-shattering.
Oh my. Gargantuan.
Oh, gargantuan. Nice. Okay, now this is interesting. Spectacular, gargantuan, gigantic. Phenomenal.
Ooh, spectacular.
Okay, and maybe we'll edit at that. So that's wordplay, right? That's wordplay. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
It is fun. Yeah. Words are
I do. I love writing. It's kind of funny because I had no interest in being an author, like whatsoever.
Wow.
It never even crossed my mind.
Wow.
And then, you know, when I was struggling so hard in my life, and then I kind of finally figured out like, oh, this cancer thing. Oh, got it. You're like, okay, I'm good. And then it was like, all right, now what am I supposed to do?
Mm.
And it was the word write. Just like, that was the only advice I would ever get. Like, seriously, what am I supposed to write? Come on, like, give me some, you know, like, help me out here. So I just ended up fine. I'll write what I learned, you know, on my healing journey. And that was like the whole beginning. And the funny part was, I didn't even realize I was writing a book until I was like 25 pages in. And I was like, oh, this is a book. I'm going to have to publish this. It was crazy.
That makes total sense to me. You know, I started writing a memoir years ago. I mean, if you could see my computer files, please, right? I mean, there's so much in there. But I started writing a memoir, and then I realized, no, this is not a memoir. This is a solo show, which is what you had read in my bio, you know, Brassy and Intrepid Fighting to Be Me. That was my solo show. And it was a series, actually the story about my dad is part of Brassy. It was a series of like 5 short stories that I performed all together, you know, in one solo show. And my husband's a DJ, and he DJed the music, but in between every story, and it was crazy, crazy fun. And we did it as part of this, actually nominated as part of this solo show festival, Play of Solo. But the point is, like, I had never thought about doing a solo show, just like you, right? Like, I'm a storyteller. I do 7-minute stories on stage and some stand up, actually. And I'm no stranger to the mic, but a solo show, that's just like, because it's you and an audience and words for an hour, you know, and there's no scene. It's not theater, folks. There's no, you know, it's just storytelling. So it's really like pedal to the metal, you know, like, can you captivate people in this day and age when everyone's connected to a million devices, you know, for an hour with language? It's very, the point is, it's the storyteller's PhD. Okay. Let's just put it that way. It's like super challenging. And that's what came out of, writing the memoir, which I never finished. And I actually love telling that story because, you know, like, we know intuitively, like, what it is that we're doing. Like for you, like, you're like, I don't even know. I'm just going to write what happened and what I learned. And then 25 pages in, that's kind of amazing. And you're just like, oh, I guess I'm writing a book here. And look what happened now.
Right.
When was your book published originally?
Originally in 2013.
Get out.
It's in its 10th anniversary edition now. I did an upgrade and a facelift and put some new energy in and took some old energy out, put new energy in, gave it a little new life. It gave itself a new cover.
I saw the cover. I love the cover.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
I know. And you're just like, boop, 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 everywhere on Amazon and doing stuff. It's amazing. It's such an inspirational story. It's just an inspirational story. And it lets all of us to know, lets all of us know that exactly what I had said in that original thing, start where you are. Let go of perfectionism. Stay in the moment. Accept all of your delicious self. And just let her or him go wherever they're going to go. And follow faithfully and supportively and gently and kindly.
Exactly.
Nice.
So beautiful. Wow, Victoria, this has been such a fantastic conversation. So much fun.
Absolutely delightful.
Thank you so much for gracing our stage with your story today.
Well, thank you for having me on Soul Stories. Every soul has a story. I love it. I love it. And I was listening to many of your broadcasts on your podcast and all of the different guests that you had on. And I was like, wow, she is just on fire. So I'm really happy to be part of your circle of magic. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I do hope that you and Flo will flow over this way one day. Come visit. Come see the Adirondack Mountains.
We may come soon to a neighborhood near you. It would be fabulous. Thanks.
It would be great, for sure. So much fun.
All right, cool.
So everyone, if anybody's looking to reach out to Victoria, it is coachvictoriareeves.com. Go play with Victoria. Get your story written. Find out how you can be a better storyteller, how you can take your life story up some notches into beauty and joy and brilliance and fun.
Love it.
Indeed. So thank you all for joining us for another Soul Stories, because every soul has a story, including you. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Till next time, create for yourselves a great story. Tell a great story because you can. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to this episode of Connecting You to You Radio. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share it with your friends. Are you ready to discover more about how simple healing your body can actually be when you do it from the higher wisdom of your soul? To learn more about what I do and how you can work with me, visit connectingyoutoyou.com and get on my mailing list to be the first to know about my latest offerings. If you'd like to interact with me on Facebook, please join my group, Soul Sourced Healing. Check the show notes below for these links and more. I hope to see you again next time on Connecting You to You Radio.